and welcome to the Outpost Frequencies, brought to you by thelastmovieoutpost.com for all of your movie news, reviews, and everything cool about films. I'm your host this evening, as always, not George Lucas, and with me is Yoda.
Hello, Outposters. Are you? It's F you, it's January, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. I think we're really stretching it this time.
I'm not. I'm quite helpful. And with us, as always, is Sean as well.
Ahoy, boys.
So, first of all, how are we? How's everybody doing? Sean, you went to, was it the SHOT convention?
SHOT Show.
How did that go?
Bunch of stuff canceled, and the guys didn't show, and mask mandates, no fun, same old.
Did you see Alec Baldwin?
No, report. I get. No, he's at the other show. That's the Get Shot show. That's what.
I was gonna say Alec was there, but he was. Everybody was strictly not to give him any weapons. No. Not to Alec. And Yoda, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, just trying to get by. I do have a new Overlooked coming, probably this week. Hopefully soon. And if I seem distracted, it's because I missed one of the new shots that I have to put in here. So you are missing from the 3-cam, and I'm fixing that up right now. So you and Sean talk amongst yourselves.
Okie doke. Right. So it's again, like I say, it's January, so it's quite a slow month for movie news. But the news came out this week that The Batman, because that's what the new one's called, The Batman. I don't know what the next...
Very clever title, if I have to say.
It was something that everybody could spell, so it was all good. But The Batman is coming out. The news is, it is over 3 hours long, just over 3 hours long without the credits, which is going to be interesting, obviously, to see what Matt Reeves does with it. But
Epic length right there.
Yeah. But then... You could use the word epic. Just because it's long doesn't mean it's epic. I think.
Well, I said epic length. I made no claims about the quality of it.
Yes. I mean, it could be 3 hours of mind-numbing tedium. I mean, so far the trailers don't look like that because it does look rather good. But the length of movies. Back in the 80s, we had a jolly good thing going of 90 minutes. And your film was 90 minutes. And so you knew for an hour and a half you were going to be entertained for an hour and a half. Whereas that. You still get the occasional 90-minute movie nowadays, but most movies nowadays, I would say, are over, maybe even well over 2 hours. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing to me because I like a longer movie. Like, if I want to go, if I pay to watch something, especially in the theater, I want to go in it and get completely lost in that world. I want to forget my shitty, stupid, pointless life that I exist in. And the only thing I want to think about is this awesome movie, you know. And, I mean, we watch these series on Netflix, whatever, and people will sit for, like, 19 hours of that. And I don't know. I mean, I get the little short, you know, oh, we've only got the babysitter for 2 hours, Marge. Let's go to the film and watch, you know. But I've never seen a movie that I thought was too long. If it was a good movie, you know, that being the caveat there, like, The Postman with Kevin Costner, for instance, you know, not a good.
I mean, that literally, I mean, that felt as long as like he was just sort of walking to deliver each letter.
If the doctors told me I only had like 1 month to live, I would put on The Postman so it felt like I had 6 more months of life that I was living through. You know what I mean?
Dragged out so much.
Yeah.
But it does depend then on the movie, because I said with June, the thing that annoyed me with June when I saw it last year was the fact that I could have quite happily done another hour of it. Quite happily. I was so thoroughly enjoying it. It annoyed me that it ended. And so obviously it does depend on the movie itself, because there are some movies where you constantly look at your watch and then other movies just seem to fly by because of how well they're written and what the content is.
Yeah, I mean, take Lord of the Rings. They were already epically long, and then the extended versions came out, and I prefer those because they fill in some gaps and they make the story even better. So I don't think it's so much the length as it is, you know, the story, the context, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the new Spider-Man movie was, what is it, 2.5 hours at least? Maybe a bit longer. But I mean, I felt like the time flew by. You know, it's not so much the length, it's whether you're stuffing in a bunch of extraneous stuff that doesn't help the story and you end up getting bored. So I mean, it's really, the story warrants it. I mean, nobody's complaining about Lawrence of Arabia. That thing's 17 hours long. So
you know. I don't think I've actually ever sat through it.
I've not seen the whole thing either.
Okay, so everybody's giving me shit about The Godfather, and you guys haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia?
I think I probably have. I just don't recall.
I mean, I haven't seen it either. I just wanted an opportunity to bitch about it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've seen parts of it, and those parts didn't strike me as engaging, so I was like, eh.
My mum, just as a completely random fact, lives up the road from a house where Lawrence of Arabia once lived.
That's fascinating.
I know.
We should get another 30 minutes of discussion out of that.
I once drove by George Washington's house.
Is that George Washington from Naked Gun?
George Washington, George P. Washington. It's just some guy that lives over. Yeah.
I know who these people are.
I drove by Jim Washington's house.
That's old man Washington's boy, ain't it?
Sure. Let's go with that.
So, what movies do you think are too long?
All of them.
Movies... Really, everyone. Okay, yeah. So we'll start with every film ever made, and we'll go through that needs to be cut out.
Anything with VeggieTales in the title, I guarantee it's way too long.
Mm. VeggieTales?
Yes.
Oh,
my God.
Veggie was lost on me.
VeggieTales, yeah. They're like a meme. They're the Bible vegetables, the cartoons.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean now.
These are the jokes, man. Keep up. You're screwing up the bits. How am I supposed to keep the bits going if you guys are not up on these really niche bullshit memes?
I was going to say, you could try being funnier.
Agreed.
No, sorry, like I say, I kind of have heard of those, but I don't think I've ever seen them. Again, I think the closest I've come to seeing something like that was on The Simpsons, when they parodied it on The Simpsons, didn't
they?
Well,
okay, let's go full racist here. Anything with Tyler Perry in the title, too long.
That's pretty right. Disavow.
No.
Not only is that racist, but it's transphobic.
Did you ever see the South Park where Tyler Perry, like, it wasn't really him, but he came on to South Park and he would make a joke and Token would start laughing and they'd be like, what? Why am I laughing? It was like an involuntary reaction. And then one point he started laughing and then he handed him a dollar. He's like, God damn it.
So anything with Tyler Perry is too long.
Yes.
I mean, the one that immediately springs to my mind, and this is going full racist again, but
Pearl Harbor. We're on a roll, folks.
the whole bit in Pearl Harbor with Cuba Gooding Jr. felt like a DVD extra.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. That was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding
really?
Jr. was the best part of that Pearl Harbor movie because the rest of it was schlock garbage.
It was the best part, but it did not feel like it belonged in the rest
of
the movie.
It was a separate movie. What they should do is you just should cut out all the Cuba Gooding Jr. parts, make one movie out of just starring Cuba Gooding Jr. I would watch that.
Maybe they could do like a series of Pearl Harbor, but told from different aspects. And then the
one of them will be the torpedo.
Yeah, one. I was just going to say, yeah. And then the last episode is a Japanese kamikaze fighter. he's saying he's getting ready to go.
Zero dives towards battleship.
Yeah, puts his goggles on before he dives bombs in. Because health and safety, obviously. Yeah, you've got to keep the goggles on.
Whichever one we can watch that is not told from the perspective of Michael Bay, I'll be fine with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very good way of being. Oh, we've got Eggy Weggies online. Hello, Eggy. Nice to have you. Nice to see that you showed loyalty against your family and with us. Well done.
Priorities. I love them.
I mean, bringing up more modern times, things too long, King Kong versus Godzilla. And again, to me, again, the whole Millie Bobby Brown and that podcast guy was completely and utterly, it was a DVD extra. They put Millie Bobby Brown in there because of the whole Stranger Things thing.
Yeah, but that's not really a length thing. That's more of a, did you like what was going on? If you want to go with length, way too long, Peter Jackson's King Kong is way too flippin' long.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's the fight with the three dinosaurs that goes on for 75 minutes. It's ridiculous.
The whole them running away from the dinosaurs at one point and the insects and everything.
The most egregious part was when the monkey and her are out in New York, you know, I'm like ice skating or whatever in the frozen park. It's like, why are we doing this?
that really did drag on. What also annoys me, I think, with all of the King Kong movies is that they do that and they drag these things out. No one has ever explained how they get the monkey on the boat. You know, they drug it and knock it out.
Slip it a Mickey.
Yeah, but like, how do you pick this thing up and then get it in the boat?
Well, there was a lot of native people there that they could enslave because they were horrible white people. So
they had machine guns. You know, like you can. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you have a machine gun, you can convince people to just about do anything you want them to do, especially if they don't have a machine gun themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Like if they are like Hawkeye, armed with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
All right, but no, it's just in all of the movies I've ever seen, he gets gassed and then it literally cuts to the boat sailing back to America, and I constantly go, seriously, how do they do that?
Well, you know, boats have those like cranes with winches that they load equipment in, you know, just they put a strapped it on him, and don't think about it too much, man. It's just a movie about a giant ape.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's the problem I have with this. Giant ape, not a problem. Cranes, not so sure.
It had a good giant life raft, one of those big inflatable cheap ones you get at the dollar store, but it was really huge. You just stuck them on there and towed it.
That's right up there. Now that you mention that, that's right up there with Indiana Jones on that German submarine that he, you know, somehow manages to stay on for 500 miles.
Yeah. So
they didn't go under.
I've heard that there's like in the script that it explains it and they cut it out, but.
Again, see, there you go with things being cut out. We've just had the news, or not news, but I mean, somebody, there's a couple of people who are suing Universal at the moment because the movie Yesterday, which was set around this guy who there was a massive blackout, and he's the only one who's remembered the Beatles songs.
I really like that movie too.
Well, apparently Anna de Armas was supposed to be in it, and she had a very good scene and everything else, but she was cut from the film. And these people are now suing Universal because of false advertising that she was supposed to be in it, and she wasn't.
What's so special about her? Was she like supposed to show her tits in it or something, and they're mad because they didn't?
No, she just happens to be a very attractive young lady, and I think they wanted to watch her for her acting merits.
Sure, why not?
Does not seem okay.
For legal reasons, we will agree with that until the court case is settled.
The length of the movie is then cut down because these things are missing. So I mean, again, that's done for reasons to keep it under a certain time, or it just didn't fit with the story. But obviously it's annoyed some people that the movie wasn't as long as it should have been.
I do, as an aside, I'm giving you guys shit for not knowing VeggieTales. I'm sitting there watching the movie because I'm so out of touch with music. If it isn't made before 1987, I have no idea. I have no clue. And so Ed Sheeran is in this. And I'm just like, I'm like going, that's what I said.
He's basically a British busker. He was somebody who was discovered. He was singing under a in a subway somewhere in London, and he was discovered, and then he became famous. He was in Red Notice with The Rock and Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds.
I didn't see that either.
Much. But when he's in this one, I'm thinking he's a made up fictional character that happens to be a rock star for this story. And my wife looks at me like I'm nuts. You know?
There is a great picture of him in a waistcoat stood there. He's a ginger guy as well. Now whether you want to make fun of gingers is entirely up to you. But
he stood on their souls. Leave him alone.
he stood on the stage though with. What's she called? Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And a few of her dancers and stuff. And it says, when the teacher picks you to be in a school project with the popular girls, because he looks completely and utterly out of place in like every respect of the word. Hang on, where were we going with this? Right, Ed Sheeran.
Movies are too damn long.
Yes. But obviously, some movies do have to be cut down to keep them to a certain time scale. So it does make you wonder then, do you think that there are directors out there who think to themselves, no, I want to leave everything in here. I'll just, you know, let's turn it into a series.
Well, let's take a look at Justice League.
Yeah.
That was cut. Example. Half of that movie was cut, and you know that there's more that didn't make it even into the Snyder cut. You know there is.
Think about the Thin Red Line where Terrence Malick was. The original cut's like 9 hours long or some insane amount of time with like 150 celebrity actor cameos, and it's already insufferable enough as it is. But the audacity of thinking somebody's gonna let you, oh yes, this 9-hour movie here. That's.
I mean, with that, then, it's kind of weird because there are some directors who do like a slow pace, which I'm quite okay with. I'm a big fan of Kubrick.
Villeneuve.
So, exactly. But then when you say about Justice League, the problem with Justice League is if you cut out the slow motion, I mean, the movie's what, 25, 26 minutes?
If that.
You know?
How much does the slow motion, in your guys' opinion, really add on to the time? Because I've not seen it, but that joke, of course, has been going around. But I've just wondered, how bad is it? Does it really drag it out 7-8 minutes?
Well, you know, it'd be interesting edit, you know, just take all the slow motions and speed them up to normal speed and see how much of the duration goes down. I would say, there's so much of it. I'd say you'd get back maybe about 20 minutes. I don't think that'd be an interesting exercise to see how much you actually get.
The actual sort of slow motion that's not needed. I remember particularly there's a shot of Aquaman stood on a pier and these waves are crashing in slow motion.
I had that in my head just now.
You know, and like you say, you're sat there and you're thinking, it's Aquaman, we get it. You know, there's good music and it's in some way where we get it, but it's just sort of slowly, you know, and it carries on. And it would be interesting for somebody to go through and sort of time all the sort of when the slow motion, do a stopwatch and actually see how much it adds up to. I think sometimes it's good to use slow motion if there is a particularly good scene or whatever.
Yeah, the flash scene. That's reasonable. You know, you're trying to show. I would not count that anything with the flash doing his thing.
Yeah,
but. And you know, like when he's come, like when he's when Superman's holding the three other leaguers at bay, Aquaman and Cyborg and Wonder Woman, and Flash comes around him and his eye, you know, looks best scene in the movie, by the way.
Of
course, that's slow motion. But then there's you're right. There's times where it's just like it's slow motion for no reason.
Just to posture, it's funny you say about Terrence Malick. I find it. I don't think I finished a Terrence Malick film because there is just so much long posturing with the camera, and it doesn't go anywhere or do anything or add anything to the movie, and I find it incredibly
so pretentious.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it incredibly difficult to do that. And if you say that there's sort of like a run of 9 hours, and I'm just thinking. Of what? You know, is he filming grass growing?
There is some of that in the movie. Yeah, literally. It was like cut to some grass with some dew on it. And it's like, dude, please.
Yeah.
This is a war movie. It didn't take that long to read the book.
That's not a good sign.
I tell you, a movie that I wish that we could get the original cut of is Stallone's Cobra. That movie was a lot longer and a lot darker and more violent. But Stallone was like, somebody told him, was like, oh, we can only run that one time a day. We can't have three screenings. And so he chopped it up, and we get this. It's still a lot of fun. I mean, you know. But I would love, and nobody knows what happened to that footage. But I would love, if I was to become a billionaire, I would probably spend millions hiring people to try to track that down so we could see that movie. I want to see it so bad.
Oh, no, I found it for $20 on eBay. Oh, I don't know,
probably will turn up on eBay one day, you know.
But again, it begs a question that if you've got a longer movie, then you aren't getting so many showtimes, so the cinemas are technically losing money. You know, if you've got a 90-minute movie, you can show it, what, five times a day, where if it's a three-hour movie, you can only actually maybe throw it three times a day. So,
Depends on the movie, doesn't it? I mean, and a movie that is longer but lasts longer in the cinemas because everybody wants to see it, it's actually better for the theater because of the way the profit breakdown works over the course of time. And for those of you who don't know, like when a movie first hits the theaters, like 80% of the profits, or maybe 85, I don't know, a very high percentage of profits goes back to the studio. The theater only gets to keep a snippet. And the longer it stays in the theater, like after about 8 weeks, that percentage is flipped so that the theater keeps 80% and the studio only gets 20%. So if you have a movie like Titanic, which stayed in the theater for what, like 6 months or more, or Avatar, I mean, those are long movies, but they hung in there. So in the long term, maybe that was better for the theater. So I think it's, you know, length is, I mean, all of this is, if it's a long movie, but it only lasts for 3 weeks and then it's on DVD, that's no good for the theater. They need more showings.
Even pre-COVID I can't think of the last thing that stayed in the theater longer, 8 weeks. Like a month seems to be, at least
Spider-Man
around here.
It looks like it. I mean, it's still kicking butt. I don't know how much it's made now, but it's pretty impressive numbers considering it were post-COVID.
It's hit over $1 billion now, isn't it?
Yeah, it went over
worldwide for
quick.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Domestic, I think it may be over $700 million by now. I don't know if you guys want to look that up. That'd be interesting. Oh, I didn't. Was it on his bookshelf? Jesus. I said, if you want to look it up, he got up. I'm like, pretty sure you can just do it on your computer there, buddy. But that's fine. I'll switch to us. I'm guessing he's got. He went to all those gun shows, so now the FBI is showing up. He's going to have a firefight.
Gross. US and Canadian, $710 million.
$710 million. Wow.
And then gross worldwide, $1.6 billion. So far, that's according to the IMDb.
It went over $1 billion like in the first 2 weeks, I think, did it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like real quick.
Yeah, it did. And then it went, but I mean, it's still hanging in there. It's still for one, I mean, what the hell is in the theaters that you're going to watch now? If you want to really go to the theater, what are you going to see?
365.
Licorice Pizza. Licorice Pizza is still in the theater, and it's playing here now finally, but I cannot get to it because of the weather and just different reasons. So
I'm going to wait till it comes out on. Video.
That's what I just made up my mind.
I can't think of anything that's up and coming. Maybe apart from The Batman, I might, but I'm not massively bothered about going to see in the cinema.
We did a whole thing a couple weeks ago about movies we were excited about seeing, and now we can't even remember one. That shows you how bad it's going to be this year.
There wasn't many on the list that are coming out to be. It's going to be interesting. Like the company I have said in the past, A24, they produce stuff which is bizarre and weird and wonderful, and I do like them, and I think they've probably got a couple of bits and pieces tucked up their sleeve which they'll just sort of go, oh, by the way, here's a random movie and it'll be great sort of thing. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But going back to the box office, nah, I'm not bothered. And again, see, another problem with the box office and say The Batman is 3 hours long, you are gonna need a pee at some time throughout the film, so you're gonna miss some of it.
That's what the floor is for. That's why it's dark. I don't know what kind of animals you are in England, but here we don't have to hold it. We're allowed to just,
So they sell supersized Cokes, and in one half is the Coke, and in the other side is a pee cup.
That's why you get those big giant popcorn things.
They give us those Waterworld things. We just recycle it, then drink it.
The Dune suit.
Yeah, that's right.
But again, it is an issue. There's nothing worse than when you are at a cinema. I hate going for a pee in the middle of it, because you can't stop. But you are thinking to yourself, right, what am I going to miss whilst I'm out there? Because you know it's going to be the best scene of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To be honest with you guys, I go to the movie theater because my wife and I want to get out of the house and have a nice evening out. And we'll usually, combine it with dinner and some drinks and then just go see a show and then come home. It's just a nice, easy, dependable way of just entertaining yourselves for an evening when, the weather's bad or it's just, it's too expensive to do anything else. Or, she has, going bowling or something strenuous is kind of tough on her with her wrists and things like that, So, I mean, but as far as, making the movie theater a destination anymore, I'll just wait. I'll just wait till it comes out in streaming.
I'm really torn about that because I love going to the theater. But man, COVID and all that shut down the local theater for a long time. But I got so used to the streaming now. I'm like, am I gonna get? I have to put on deodorant and then go be around other people.
Take a shower.
Got a shower. Put on clean clothes for once this week.
Change my underwear. I haven't done that in weeks.
It's like, but man, there's nothing like seeing that.
I don't wear trousers at home. I'm not wearing them here.
I don't have some 80-inch TV, so I love seeing it on the big screen and that sound and stuff. I'll never give it up. Here's the way I do it. Most of my big time theater watching is in the summer, and I go during the weekday around noon when the kids are in school, or I'll go at that's what I do in the summer, but at when school's in, I'll go to, because here they'll do, the Thursday night early screenings, they call it. Used to be they'd wait till midnight if it was say Spider-Man. Yeah, they'd be like midnight Tuesday night, or Thursday night into Friday. But they do it like 7, 8. I'll wait till like 8 when, the kids have to be in bed or it's going to be too late. And there's almost nobody there, even for, big tentpole blockbuster franchises. So I always time it middle of the day throughout the summer when nobody's really there, or the Thursday night early screening premiere.
I did enjoy watching Spider-Man with a crowd. It's you hear the reactions and all that kind of stuff. It is still a fun experience if you have a crowd that's into it. And you can get decent seats. You're not sitting in the front row with your head at a 75 degree
What's
angle.
What's going on over your side of the screen? I don't know.
I had no idea. But there's less and less that I'm willing to pay the extra money, take out a mortgage for some popcorn, all the other stuff that goes along with it. I mean, get the rotten kids banging the back of your chair, things like that. It's like
somebody on their mobile phone.
Yeah, that's usually me. This movie sucks.
Trying to record it. It's okay. I work for a movie website. It's fine.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm live tweeting my review right now.
Sucks.
I'm a professional. You can't do this to me. I'm a professional.
But I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Have you guys ever been to a movie where?
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. It's just, it's like unless the experience is pretty good, and granted, the new theaters these days with their stadium seating and a lot more room, they are nice. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's like it better be a pretty good if I'm going to spend this much extra money on something when in 2 months I can just get it.
What I was going to
without trousers, without deodorant,
right? I can pause it and pee.
I can't even find my deodorant right now. It's been so long. Have you guys ever been to a movie where, like, something like that Spider-Man where you had, like, the cosplayers show up dressed up? I know George is probably dressed up as a Jedi or some nerd shit, but, you ever seen that, like, a beta?
Not since the 90s when I saw Phantom Menace, I think.
I think when I saw The Dark Knight Rises, there was a couple of people in my local cinema dressed up as Bane and Batman. I've got a photo of the two of them, me with the two of them. But no, I haven't seen cosplays like that for a long time.
I've never seen it happen here.
I kind of wish I'd gone to see the opening of Matrix, because it just would have been cool to see some kids, some older people now in their long leather jackets. Yeah.
Some fat 50-year-olds. I know Kung Fu.
I saw there's some concert thing that called What When We Were Young or something. It's supposed to be all these bands from like the early 2000s for all these millennials or zoomers or whatever, and it's a bunch of like late 90s early 2000s stuff.
What sucks is like I was too old for them then and now they're like they're doing nostalgia for stuff that I was well past at that time. That's when you know.
I did see a great meme the other day, and it had a bunch of overweight Mandalorians. I think somebody called it
So Temuera Morrison himself.
Hey-o.
even bigger than that, but they called it the MacDelorians. which did make me laugh, because I mean, fair play. Like I say, I'm a bigger guy and everything else. I can get away with Jedi, because there's probably some bigger Jedi there. But when it's like a suit of armor, like a stormtrooper or whatever, probably not going to push it, Unless, of course, they were going to do the cosplay as the boulder from Indiana Jones.
Maybe you could pull off Darth Vader. They say black is slimming.
Still don't think I'd get away with it.
I don't think I could get away with the outfit, but the wheezing after walking for 5 feet, no problem.
Yeah. And sitting down and relaxing. And...
Even breathing has you slightly out of breath.
Again, another thing from let's talk about sort of some older movies, like for example Gone with the Wind, our racist classic. With that obviously had in the middle of it an intermission.
Wait a minute, what's racist about it? Give me one example of racism in that movie. Quote it for me, please.
all the southern white people were educated.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Hey, what?
Good answer. I'm my head's gone straight to a place which I know I can't talk about.
Got them all.
but with it, they had those intermissions. Obviously, because the film wouldn't fit physically on the projector, they had to have an intermission in the middle of them to give you a chance to get more drinks and have a pee and come back. But that obviously now, because it's all digital, doesn't happen anymore.
Well, it certainly could. It certainly could, but then. What's really happening, if you put an intermission in there, you're actually increasing the length of the showing even more, right?
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
So yeah. Theaters aren't going to put up with that bullshit.
I saw the Grindhouse Death Proof / Planet Terror when it come out, and saw it as a double feature. And by the end of the first movie, I had to piss so bad I could taste it. But those fake trailers were so good, I just couldn't. By the time that movie was over, I thought I was going to burst.
And they weren't. They turned out to be not so fake.
Machete
actually became a movie. Yeah.
And Hobo with a Shotgun. I still want to see that Eli Roth Thanksgiving Day slasher, that fake trip. I would love to. And done just like that, where it's obviously comedy, but I'd love. And he threatened to make it there, claimed they was going to do it for a long time. His career seems to have stalled or something. I don't know.
He's been doing a show online about talking about horror films and stuff. Mm-hmm.
They show it on some channel, I forget, here around Halloween.
I was gonna say it's on Shudder or something. Some of it was quite interesting, but most of it was kind of just, this is a haunted house movie. These are loads of haunted house movies. And
I started to watch it and tuned into one episode, and it was like Orange Man Bad, so that was it. Obviously, in the 80s, this was about how Reagan was such a racist and the terrible Reagan economy.
You know what's great about that? How well it how timeless it is, you know? It's not dated at all.
Yeah. 30 years from now, they'll still be watching going, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that Reagan. I don't know who he is, but goddamn him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror comedy, by the way, I just finally recently saw Tucker and Dale Fight Evil.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, it's
such a good movie. I tried watching that a couple of times, and I didn't, the first couple of times I just didn't get it, and then I thought, well, I'm going to get through this, and I just absolutely loved every minute of it, and I'm annoyed at myself for missing it the first time around. It was great.
I don't think I laughed harder when I saw these kids just accidentally fall into wood chippers.
Yeah, run.
it's just like it's
it, yeah it's I it's think great. It was just such an original take on it that the it's kind of like, you know, we're not the bad guys, we're just fishing, you know. Yeah. And these teenagers have turned up, and
these
teenagers
just keep killing themselves.
I love the beginning when he walks up to her to try to talk to her while they're at that like gas station, and he's standing there, and it's like, man, it's so funny to see it from their point of view, the killer maniac redneck, but you see it from
that is truly an original piece of filmmaking.
If you like that, you would definitely like. If you like that, you definitely like that Leslie Vernon that we were talking about. You would. It's very much not like that, but the same sort of.
Which one is that? Dash cam?
No, Dash Cam is also. I will never stop shilling Dash Cam. That's a great movie that you should watch too. But no, this was what is it? The Legend of Leslie Vernon.
It's basically how a murderer, or how the sort of the bad guy in that kind of movie plans his murders.
Oh, right, the mockumentary.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta give that a shot. Clever.
Yeah, you got to check that out. It's a hell of a lot of fun. Dash Cam is also a hell of a lot of fun.
Hang on.
Before we go on to that, just quickly, I've just got to tell the story. I think I've told it before, but when Titanic was in the cinema, I had a friend who was working as an usher in our local cinema where my dad used to work. Anyway, but the movie was so long, they had the intermission. And one day he was tearing tickets or whatever, and two lads walk up to him and said, when's Titanic 2 out? He went, what? When's Titanic 2 out? And he goes, what do you mean, what do you mean Titanic 2? Well, we saw the film, and they had sex in the car, and then it ended. And he said, that was the intermission. You went home. You went to see a movie called Titanic, and the boat didn't sink, and you didn't suspect anything. And apparently the intermission was just after they have sex in the car, and then obviously, you know, they hit the iceberg, and the whole second half is the boat sinking. But yeah, they just went to see a film about Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet having sex in a car on a boat.
That's funny. I don't remember there being... That must have been a UK thing, because I don't remember there being an intermission when I saw it.
I don't either.
I know the cinema very well, because like I said, my dad used to work there, and they did have very old-fashioned projectors, and so they did actually splice in an intermission, just because the projectors couldn't handle the size of the reels. So that's it, that's why.
Serendipity.
Old school, baby. Old school. But so it's just
I'm trying to think of other comedy horror movies like that. Like I saw What We Do in the Shadows, which I thought was fantastic.
What's the New Zealand one? Where the kids in the heavy metal and accidentally summon up? Oh man, it's really good. I was trying to. It slipped my mind. It's a New Zealand movie, and this kid, he's a metalhead, and he's new at school, and then him and his buddy accidentally summon. They do something, and they summon like demons, like the end of the world kind of apocalypse, and it's a horror comedy. And for the life of me, I cannot. Eggsy, help us out here. That's great. I'll have to get the title for you after the show here.
I guess Warm Bodies would kind of be like that. A movie that I really enjoyed when it came out, and have just not thought of since.
But again, it's very clever to take. I mean, you know. Scream 5 is out, and we've just had a review on the website and sort of said how it's the series has been going downhill. But I mean, when Scream came out, they did take that horror thing and then turn it on its head a bit and make it meta. And the first one really worked. I know some people sort of say it kind of ruined the horror genre, but I think it really worked and it did really well.
I think it did both of those things. I think it worked.
Yeah, there's no need to choose.
Yeah. It did both of those things. I don't think it set out to do it, but it did.
But again, it's what we get of, as we've said so many times before, with Hollywood, and like the perfect example of Scream 5, that Scream 5 is Scream 5, and that I'm guessing, I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing the story is Sidney Bristow gets chased around by Ghostface and people get stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
I think I pretty much covers it, and it's kind of
a risk, weren't they?
Exactly, and it's kind of when somebody comes up with an idea of like that Louis film, you know, where it's kind of like, hang on a minute. So, you know, in all these movies, we've got Jason, we've got Freddy and everything else, but what's their motivation? You know, and they take that and turn it on its head. It's a refreshing change to see something where somebody actually tries to come up with, okay, the same old story we've seen 1,000 times, but in a nice new original way.
I loved it because it wasn't like, I watched my mother get murdered by the man she was cheating. It was just like, no, they wanted to be like, basically viral, like Twitter famous, you know. I thought that was a pretty...
This is which one is this?
The original Scream.
Oh, well, they weren't really talking about Twitter famous at that time. They wanted to be famous, but yeah.
Yeah.
They did bring that all up with Scream 4. I think they were trying to talk about social media and stuff like that. I have no idea. I mean, now it's just, I think I said it last time, it's like Sidney Bristow, she looks like somebody's mom now. It's like, it's not...
Don't even mention Courtney Cox.
Oh, boy.
Time has not been kind to her.
I don't think it's not that time has not been kind to her. I just think she is trying to hold on to the... For some reason, she's trying to hold on to the original look she had in Scream, and it's kind of... No, Courtney, you are getting older, like the rest of us, yeah. Unfortunately.
Time's been fine to her. Plastic surgeon, I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably the more accurate way to say it.
But again, how long are these going to be going on for? You know,
until people stop going and paying money for them. That's how long.
The problem is, again, I've had these conversations on Twitter, and there are people on Twitter who absolutely love it. It's so good to see everybody back. Ghostface is the best, and blah. And you're just thinking, right? How do you not see that it's just they are pandering to you people?
Look, the drug of nostalgia is just as addicting as cocaine.
Deathgasm. That's right. Iggy, help us out there. Deathgasm is the name of that New Zealand.
Well done, Iggy.
Deathgasm.
Good. Thank you.
So
it's going on my list.
I think we need to have some sort of intervention, some sort of rehab, get us all off nostalgia.
I'm never giving up the 80s. You can't make me.
We need to, dude. We need to. It's killing entertainment. It's killing everything. What do our kids have that is theirs? What do my kids have that is theirs? That is truly their property.
I think about some kids who grow up thinking the Phantom Menace to the Revenge of the Sith are Star Wars, or they grow up thinking that The Force Awakens to The Rise of Skywalker is Star Wars. You know, and I think to myself, oh, you poor misguided children, you're growing up in this. But then, they're growing up in a world where they think TikTok is a thing and YouTube is a thing and...
Well, I mean, there's nothing, there's no properties, there's no creative properties that are theirs. Maybe, I think we talked about this before, maybe Harry Potter, maybe Hunger Games, that's about all I can think of. I mean, even Lord of the Rings, that's as much of a Gen X and a boomer thing as anything. It just took them that long to make the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. I mean, it is, it really is, because that was, you know, first of all, how old is the story to begin with? But, yeah, we all read that when we were, you know.
The great creative... I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, I was thinking about this, like music is all the great creative music was done from the 50s through the 80s, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, it's just kind of rehash bullshit corporate nonsense. And there's not that much there. And I was thinking, is this like everything? Like if you think about classical music, like the great classical pieces, in Mankind. They were all done in the 1600s, 1700s. Mm. You know, really. Maybe a few little later on, but I mean that, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, and Chopin, and all that's what it was. And nobody's really made great classical music since then. We could say, okay, John Williams and the great movie scores, but, you know, I feel like all the creative stuff is done in one big burst with some new medium, be it movies or music or music genres or storytelling or, you know, whatever. And then you just tap the well. The well is empty.
We've been watching sometimes. I rarely watch live TV. And the other day we watched something and there was like a half hour break. And they had the old program, you probably guys haven't heard of it, called Top of the Pops, which was just a musical program that was on once a week. And they used to do the top 40 countdown and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's been going through like the early 90s. And maybe two or three of the songs really do stick out. But most of them, I'm sat there thinking, never heard this song before in my life. You know, they've written this song and they performed it and it was at the top 40 and everything. But
for that week, you mean? It's for
You know, the other week, I think at number one at the time, because I think it was because of Wayne's World, but I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody was number one. And then Bohemian Rhapsody comes on, you immediately go, it's Bohemian Rhapsody, because it's such a great song. But the other stuff from all these 90s, there's just nothing there that's kind of, that really sort of stands out. The occasional one here and there, but the rest of them I'm just thinking, yep, never heard that song before in my life, and if I had, I've completely utterly forgotten it.
It's not
us that are out of touch, it's the Kias.
Look, if you listen to anything going on right now, I mean, if you listen just a pile of random pop songs, there is a heavy sameness to it. There's not melodies. They don't drift out of different octaves. They don't do anything that is. It's
just noise. Just noise.
I, you know what? I say the same thing about film scores. There's no such thing as a theme in a film score anymore, unless John Williams happens to do something, and he goes old school on it, like he did with the new Star Wars and the Harry Potters or some of the others. Otherwise, it's just musical background, musical atmosphere, but it's not really music per se.
A classic example of that is, and I'm sorry, Eggie, because I know you're going to upset you when I say this, but I had a friend who loves DC and everything else, and he was saying about the Man of Steel, because I'm not a massive fan of Man of Steel. I think there's too many plot holes in it, but at one point he said, "Oh, and the music and it's brilliant." And I said, "How many the theme tune?" Well, you know, it's couldn't. And I said, "Hum me the original," and you can immediately do that because John Williams's music is just like you say; it's a theme that runs through the whole movie. Yeah. And as soon as you hear it, you think of Superman. Whereas I couldn't hum you any of the music from Man of Steel, you know, at all. There's nothing in there that makes me think. Even if I heard it now, I'd have to. It would take me a while to guess what movie it's from.
Yeah, I'll give the MCU credit. They've actually put themes in their various.
Yeah,
there are themes to it. I can hear the Doctor Strange theme or the Avengers theme.
Or Captain America.
Some of the others, but they don't generally do that for most of them. So, especially.
It spread to even the movie posters too, man. The 80s movies? Oh my god, they were a thing of beauty. Now it's
50s through the 80s when they hand painted the posters. They were amazing. They don't do that anymore. They just Photoshop some heads above something.
Have you guys ever various movie forums or whatever, but have you ever just Google like fan made movie posters? Like some of
some of these people do some unbelievable stuff. Yeah, hire these people quickly.
This guy made a fan poster for Return of the Living Dead, and when Scream Factory re-released it several years ago, they got that guy's art and use it as the slip cover art, and it's beautiful. It's like, man, why don't they do that anymore?
If they wanted actual creative people working in Hollywood, Kurtzman wouldn't be running Star Trek.
I was just thinking exactly the same thing, that when it comes to when they got they're making these movies, it's like there's somebody who works in the art department for Lucasfilm and Disney. It's like, we need you to design the poster for the new Star Wars. Right, main guy, lightsaber, ships, thingy, done. You know, and it's like, I work in movies. And it's like, yeah, but do you though? Because you're not putting much imagination into those posters. And then, like I say, these fan-made ones are absolutely fantastic.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think that is a result of... At one time, a movie when we went to see it, it was like, oh, that's the trailer, whatever. It's like, oh man, that looks great. Now it seems to be like, oh, Tom Cruise is in it, or so and so's in it, and or the director, it's like you didn't know. I mean, guys like us knew, but the majority of people. So how much of that is, do you think, a result of a shift from, oh, this story or the franchise or whatever, to, oh, Tom Cruise is in it?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite. I think you got it 180 degrees backwards. Because
you think that?
Because back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, they would talk about going to see the new Clark Gable movie.
I'm talking about things
like that. And now we go see the new Captain America movie. We go see the
new Avengers. But I'm talking, say, like, through the 80s, though, when you got, think of the rental store's cover art for the VHS and stuff. Like, some of it would be amazing, and it didn't really matter. Sometimes, or even in movie posters, you know, very rarely.
No, I think you're right as far as we so it used to be star vehicles. You remember the old studio system, you know, they would sign stars to contracts, and they would put them in the Bob Hope movie, the Cary Grant, you know, you could list out all the different stars of the day. Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, people went and saw those movies for those actors. And I'm not saying actors that have star power still aren't important, but they aren't the draw for the movie that they used to be. Now you go see, you know, nobody's, I mean, take a look at some, okay, look, Star Trek is a prime example. Nobody's going to go see that because of William Shatner and Nichelle Nichols or George Takei or DeForest Kelly. They're going because they want to see Kirk, Spock, Bones. They want to go see Star Trek, you know. And I think somewhere in the 80s, I mean, you could have outliers like Star Trek in the 60s and Star Wars in the 70s and that kind of thing. But really, the Spielbergian George Lucas era, as I call it, which started in 75 and probably ended with Jurassic Park, really facilitated that shift. And it wasn't just them. I mean, you had Coppola, you had all these guys making these prestige movies because the studio system fell out of, I mean, they went bankrupt. They got bought by Coca-Cola and things like that, right? They got bought by big corporations. And so the idea of star-driven material went away it didn't happen overnight, but it went away in favor of more genre specific type subject matters. So this, you know, that's what intellectual properties, you know, think about it. What's the intellectual property that everybody still loves from the 50s or the 40s? Maybe, I mean, you could say Superman, maybe, and Batman, some of the DC comics, but they really weren't making movies back then of those. James Bond was probably the very first genre related property that exceeded its stars, that became bigger than the people that played in it. So I think you're kind of right, but I don't think anybody goes as, maybe Tom Cruise, maybe, but even that, I think they're want to go see Mission Impossible because they like that genre, because some of his other movies don't do that well, and they want to see what lunatic thing he's going to do in the next movie.
The Mummy.
Yeah, but you're not wrong. It's a good example. I mean, that thing tanked horribly. It wasn't enough that Tom Cruise was in it.
Coming back to Sean's point there a minute, it's funny because I immediately thought of where I work now. There's a canteen, you know, a staff room, and they've got the shelves up there with these things on called books, which I'd never seen before, which are very good. But with them, what got me about a lot of the books were that the whoever wrote the book is more important than the actual title of the book. So if it's a Stephen King, it kind of says Stephen King, you know, on the spine with a little The Shining or Lee Childs. And again, I keep thinking to myself, right, so why am I buying this? I'm buying this because it's a Lee Childs book. Is that why I'm is that why I'm going to read this? Is it? And the same with some movies, like I say, that I think, yeah, I some of the people in it have that incredible stardom, so that people are, well, here's a classic example, the news that we saw this week that Anna de Armas wasn't in Yesterday, but people watched it because they thought she was, you know. So
I had no idea. I watched it because I thought that was an interesting idea, but
But if it's been advertised with her in it, and then you watch it and she's not, that is kind of then annoying, because, you know, I mean, I know I've watched some films just because somebody's in it that I like, that, you know.
Really, like, I was going to ask you guys, like, what movie have you watched just because somebody that... I was curious about that.
The only ones that spring to mind are, because I keep going on about it, but like Jessica Chastain, Miss Molly's Game, I thought was very good. And the other one she did... oh, can't even think what it was called now. That's how bad it was. I think it had Channing Tatum in it. But again,
Debbie Does Dallas.
No, I wish. There is actually one. There is an Al Pacino movie called Salome, which apparently has her all buff in it. And I am thinking, oh, I wonder what it's like. Because it's directed by Al Pacino, so it might be actually quite, you know, good to check that out. But no, I mean, like I say, Molly's Game is the only one that springs to mind, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but I knew nothing about it, and it was of no interest to me, but apart from Jessica Chastain was in it.
I don't really care anymore about who's in it. I haven't for years. I mean, I look at the movie and the story. You know, if there's somebody I know in it, I can at least be certain I'm going to get probably a competent performance out of it, or a specific performance at the very least, that whether I like that guy or not. But it's not really the game breaker whether or not I like or hate the movie. It's really about, you know, is this, star power just isn't enough for me, and I don't think it ever really has been.
The only movies that directors is more something that I would put, like Michael Mann, if he, you know, anything he comes out with, I'll go to the theater and see it.
Yeah, Denny Villeneuve, I think, is definitely
him too. Yeah,
got my interest. There was a time if it said Pixar on it, I was there. That's gone down a little bit since in the last decade.
Eggy Wags has just made an excellent point. He's just said, I'm a big fan of Brad Pitt. I'll always watch a Pitt movie. However, Ad Astra was terrible and long as hell too. I was the same. I like Brad Pitt. I think he's brilliant. I think he is an incredible actor. And I tried to watch Ad Astra, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. I genuinely got to the point with the evil space monkey, and I just turned it off because it was...
Thanks for spoiling it for me.
Oh, I'm not. No. That was only halfway through. That was genuinely. There was a whole bit where he's in space and there's a signal coming from this thing, and he gets there, and it is genuinely an evil space monkey, and my brain just went, no, not in this at all. And like I say, I've never gone back to it because it was utterly ridiculous. I've heard it's very good. And
I'm trying to figure out how you fuck up a movie with an evil space monkey. It should just write itself.
let me steer us off into a tangent for just a second here, but you know the last good, like, realistic space movie or whatever you want to call it, like that, was that was a big thing at the time, and I don't hear anybody talk about it anymore, was Gravity. You remember Sandra Bullock? Man, that was a big thing when it came out, and I thought, like, wow, this is the first time I've even thought about it since it came out.
That movie, if I recall, was a 3D movie, and if you watch it, it's utterly ridiculous.
I was going to say, I watched it recently and it was good. The thing that grabbed me about it was I didn't see it in 3D. I saw it just at home on streaming. But what got me about it was I was watching it and it was only about 10 minutes in and I thought, I haven't seen a cut. You know, and it just suddenly clicked with me that opening sequence. Movie. Yeah. Yes. Technically, it's brilliant, and I think it's quite a watchable movie as well. I've seen it a couple of times, and I found it quite interesting.
It does the prime mistake that a lot of those movies do, that they don't understand how big space really is, because there's nothing, there's no landmarks, there's nothing to give you the size or the distance except for the planet, which you're so far up, it makes it look smaller. But I mean,
to quote
space stations should be continents away, and they just get there in just a few hours. I mean, it's like, and yes, you can, but it's...
No, because we have seen in Fast and Furious 9, that's not the case. You can drive to a space station.
I stand corrected.
And that's not least of all is they make the Earth round in the movie instead of flat like it really is. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Where was the turtle? Where was the goddamn turtle? I mean, it's just there's not much there for that movie. It's a roller coaster ride that is really impressive in the theater with the 3D glasses. But watching it again, it's just like, it's kind of dull.
It's a one shot kind of thing to me.
The ending that didn't happen, which I wish would have happened, is when Sandra Bullock gets back to Earth, that the people that went to then pick her up were all wearing monkey masks. That would have been a great ending. That would have just finished off the film. It was, speaking of alternate
endings.
And then
they pull them off saying, just kidding. It's like, oh my God. Where are they going with this?
I watched Castaway again the other day, which again is kind of one of those films like Gravity where it's kind of just one centric character that's obviously exploring a story. But I always thought the ending of I always wanted to see like a deleted ending of Castaway, that he takes that one box that he never opened with the wings on it, and he takes it to this lady, and I always thought to myself, it would be great to sort of say, oh, you didn't open it, oh, it's just my brother had just been deployed to the army, so I bought him some gifts like a satellite phone, solar powered so and so.
That would have been great.
So, flares,
yeah. solar chargeable battery for it.
That's right. So it's a whole inflatable yacht, you know.
Not to switch the tone here, but Eggie's just said, NGL, watch Scenes from a Marriage with Chastain. It's on Sky. It's not very good, but she gets her beaver out when she's having a shower. To be fair, I could probably just look that scene up somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to spend the money and invest the time in a movie just to get some actress's naked bod, I'm pretty sure you could do that and save yourself money and time with the internet.
Pretty sure. You know.
She's
we
not
all
even that
know.
Pretty. I don't,
so
I don't
I've heard.
Get, she's not even that pretty. I don't know what your obsession with her is.
Well, I suppose, yeah, she's not got her knuckles dragging across the floor, is she? So, I don't know.
I'm just going to let you two go, and I'm going to sit back here.
I just find her very attractive. I think she's very nice. That's all.
She made an anti-gun movie, and that was like the end of any chance.
I see.
She was very extremely woke. It bombed, of course, because you know.
I think actually, I did watch that movie because she was in it. Yeah, I can't even remember what it's called. I just remember she's in it, and yeah, she's anti-gun lobbyist.
Was she in Interstellar? Was she in that one?
Yeah.
She was in Zero Dark 30 as the woman who saved America from Osama bin Laden single-handedly.
I was going to say, what's great about that movie is that everybody's looking for Osama bin Laden and everything else, but when her friend dies, that's when it becomes personal.
Yeah, that's when she was like,
not the whole 9/11 thing.
Yeah. She used her ovary powers to find him all by herself. And all the men were just getting in the way.
Oh yeah, that's what we do.
As we do.
Yeah, that's what I try.
I tell you, when I get in the kitchen, I'm in the way of my wife. You know, I don't belong there.
Like she does.
Yes, that would be the reverse suggestion that I would be making.
Which is something that a misogynist would say.
Something
not
a misogynist would say. Which I am.
It's usually me, because Sean, I think last
I'm
week...
Glad I thought I was the only one there for a second.
I went on about that in the Star Trek thing about Spock's brain, because I love that episode, because it's unapologetically misogynist.
Again, but it never seemed an issue at the time. It's only an issue now in the whole sort of values that we get set for ourselves. I saw a great little meme the other day, and a guy, and it said 1970s, and he walked into a wall somewhere and banged his shoulder, and nothing. In the 80s, same thing. And then in the year 2000, bang into wall, fall down, click a photo, hashtag walls shouldn't exist, why do walls hold up ceilings, you know. And like I say, we live in this world now where you can't, everything is judged by the sort of the wrong standards of the time that they were made. That just because something was made in a certain time and everything else, it wasn't offensive.
I think you answered your question there. It's judged by the standards of what's inconvenient to my narcissistic ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
I saw a great a comedian the other day, and he basically said, when did Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones But Names Will Never Hurt Me stop applying? You know, we teach that to
names,
kids.
When names can go to 18 million people and they can all hit your Twitter at the same time. I think that's when it started getting a little, yeah. A little
when you could get fired. Yeah, when you got fired. That's when it's like, oh, words can hurt me.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. That's
you have
true,
47
actually, yeah.
million tweets. Oh, Jesus, what'd I say?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
The country of Uganda is pissed at you. Oh, no.
Oh, God, do you know what? There was something said earlier, and I thought, oh, that's a good tack we can go on. I've forgotten what it is now.
So getting back to our supposed main topic.
Actually, coming back to that, because one thing we didn't mention, well, it briefly was mentioned, but when, like, Netflix release a series, it's kind of nothing to sit down and sort of literally watch 8 hours worth of entertainment. You know, if there's 8 episodes and they're an hour long, you'll just sit down and binge watch that in a day. And you don't kind of think anything of that. But obviously, if there was an 8 hour long movie, even if it had a pee break or whatever in the middle of it, again, people probably wouldn't go and see it, would they?
No.
No, but there is the, I can pause it, I can do whatever, I can stop it, whatever. There's a certain amount of control that happens, right, with binge watching. Like, if you end up sitting there for 8 hours watching it, it's because you just didn't have anything better to do. But if somebody called you and said, I need you to come over and pick me up, I'm out of, you know, whatever. You can pause it and come back to it anytime you want. With the movie, and you've already paid for it, right? It's coming out of your account every month, so you don't care. So I think it's a combination of control and the feeling that you're not having to pay for anything. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Sorry there.
I suppose, like I say, yeah, it's not like you can walk out of the cinema at any time and go, I've got to go to work. Can we carry on this tomorrow? That'd be great.
It's a different mindset, too, when you sit down to binge watch something, you know.
Oh, my. Okay, so I do have an Alec Baldwin update, and this is kind of hilarious. Because if there wasn't enough problems for Alec Baldwin, Alec Baldwin is being sued for defamation and negligence by the family of a fallen Marine after comments he made about one family member's presence outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
Yeah, so he donated or something to to the family, and then found out supposedly one of them, which they weren't even there. They weren't even there at the Capitol, but he thought they were. And then he made some reply like, oh, if I'd known they were going to be that kind of person, I wouldn't have donated the money to them. And
that's January 6th coming back and haunting him again.
Yeah.
See,
this is why I shoot people.
I meant to bring that up earlier, but forgot about it.
I just happened to read it because we're struggling for content here, folks.
I was just about to say, yeah, Yoda's so bored, he's reading the news.
he's not listening to anything we have to say, that's for sure.
What does Red Letter Media call it? Fuck you, it's January.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, movie-wise, like I say, this. I've been checking the sort of latest streams and everything else, and there's nothing new out that I fancy at all. Funny enough, Serrano... with Peter Dinklage is out, but I ironically watched Roxanne the other day instead because I fancied to see Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah doing the same thing.
It's much better adaptation, yeah. In my opinion.
I am interested.
Did you guys see the Moon Knight trailer? That was the only big thing that
I did. Looked like dog shit.
I tell you, I was
as a British person, I am terribly offended by what he was saying, Governor.
I tell you, I am just completely pumped with indifference. I'm overwhelmed with a feeling of, bring on Moon Knight or not. Whatever.
On the article on the website, the comment that really got me was how somebody, people are fed up with the whole, costume coming out of nowhere, like Iron Man's suit, which is all nano. And I said, yeah, I want to see Superman hopping around trying to get his boot on, you know, in a telephone box just before, you know, he flies off somewhere.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm completely... the whole bit in Iron Man when he puts that suit on and it goes in and it does all the screws up and everything else is is brilliant. In Iron Man 2 as well, when he puts it on in the briefcase, it looks fantastic. The whole nanobot technology thing, get a bit bored with that.
To be fair, I think he's got split personalities, and one of them is a magical Egyptian pharaoh god, and so it's possible the suit is just magic.
I think that seems to be the way they're taking it in this interpretation of the character. So,
who is Moon Knight? I've never heard of him.
He's some Z-level character at Marvel.
I swear, if we see Devil Dinosaur Machine Man, we know that's them waving the white flag.
wasn't there a superhero called Squirrel Girl as well? And wasn't there somebody supposed to be trying to make that?
That show called the
Nuts of Winter or something?
No, it was like the Lost, the Orphan, I don't know what it was called.
The Runaways.
Runaways, that's it. And I think she was in that.
Oh.
One of the D-level cable stations nobody gives a crap about that's trying to cash in on Marvel. And I don't think it did very well.
Trying to cash in on Marvel, and then suddenly Disney showed up with their lawyers. There we go. Getting back to long films, have you guys ever watched a trilogy in one sitting?
Yes.
Eggie, I can proudly tell you that when the premiere of Revenge of the Sith was out, me and my mate managed to get tickets to sit in one sitting in London, and it was they showed 4, 5, and 6, and then 1, 2, and then the premiere of 3. So I actually did all 6 Star Wars movies in one day.
That's pretty impressive.
It was especially a really the good theater. Day out. It was, we were really lucky to get tickets. I specifically remember he was going to try online and I was going to try on the phone, and me and my mum were at my house, both with phones ready to call when they were going on sale. And he said he had like 4 tabs up and he kept refreshing them. And then he texted me and said, I got the tickets. And it was a cracking day because you're seeing it with a bunch of other fans. We had some 3 guys from New York.
Did they charge you extra for that, or was it just...
No, I think I'm sure we only paid about like £30 or something. It wasn't expensive. We had to like pay for petrol to get there, and we stayed the night before because it started like about, I think, 7 o'clock in the morning, and then the premiere was like 7 o'clock in the evening. But George Lucas was there; he introduced it, and Rick McCallum and Hayden Christensen and Ian McDiarmid actually came out to the. And so being with all those fans was fantastic because we had a like proper nerd out for the day. I've done that, and I quite enjoyed it. I think I did it with back in the day. I did it with Star Trek 4 as well, and we watched 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the cinema as
Before Endgame, I forget, some theater in New York or something played like every Marvel movie before, leading up to it. And it was like, I think there's it's $150 or something like that, and 19 hour. I don't even remember.
It had to be longer than that because there was 20.
Yeah.
It's what, 22 movies, I think it is.
Yeah.
So for a couple of hours each, that's at least like 40 odd hours.
Yeah, it was. The week leading up to it or something, you could go in and stay and just watch every one of them.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine the smell of that theater around. Black Panther.
What was funny about the Star Wars Day, just to mention, is the fact that usually when you go out somewhere, it's always the women's toilets that are very, very busy. Not at this one. Basically, all the toilet queues had sand people and stormtroopers and Jedi all sort of like lined up to go into the male toilet because there was only males there. I think the ratio must have been something like 95% men.
Had to be tough. You don't want to get those robes stuck in the toilet.
Yeah. Well, and it's even funnier when you've got like a pretty Jedi and then these guys trying to chat them up. that was kind of worth it, the price of admission altogether.
She's
you know?
Constantly going, you will get the hell away from me.
and they're such nerds.
Her lightsaber
go,
was
I will
spray.
Go.
Yeah,
and by the way, Eggie, if you have watched the site, you know that I spent at least 2 trilogies, which then I discussed with my friend, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Hobbit trilogy. That was nice. And the sequel trilogy. And then we both ripped it apart, all 3 movies, in a very long discussion. So clearly you have not been watching all our insanely overly long discussions that take up an insane amount of your time.
I don't.
Speaking
think
of that, the Wednesday night stream.
Fan.
That the Wednesday night stream you did with was no, excellent. No. I watched that and tried to comment, but apparently you were ignoring my comments. That's
I
okay.
Did not see your comments. I'm sorry.
I think I might be banned or something.
That was so you basically watched me flailing wildly because Dom's internet went down.
That was
I watched
at some point I'm pulling out a hat and a cane. Da 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 da.
No, it was really good, man. It legit was. It was more entertaining than I imagined us three being.
Dom's got a fan base.
You yourself on that.
Dom's got a fan base.
It's a shame Don can't join us on this because it would be entertaining.
Yeah,
it would be good because Don's he's certainly interesting.
He definitely wants to get back in the swing of things. So we may try to do some more weeknight stuff. We'll see how it goes. Once I can get my son a car and I don't have to take him to work three nights a week, I'm gonna have more time to do some other things, but. I've been trying. I've been getting more stuff up there lately on the YouTube site. Oh, and, we are, by the way, I just want to mention, have we gotten there yet? Let's see.
No, 799.
799 subscribers. Come on, guys. Get us over to 800.
Tell your friends.
Tell your
friends. You must have friends you don't like.
That's right.
Make a sock account and subscribe with a extra fake count or something.
No. I want it to be legit. We need to get to 1,000. That's where I want to get, because then we're getting close to monetization, and we can make tons of pennies on each of these live streams.
Then this will actually be worth it. Brilliant.
And then they'll start paying. then YouTube will start paying attention to us, and then we can't.
Then everything gets
demonetized
or just shut down.
We've got a channel here that keeps going on about Gone with the Wind and Birth of a Nation. I just think we need to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. He's got this British guy. I think he wants to take back over the colonies.
No, really, no. Eggy said he's done doubles. So he did Guardians of the Galaxy the other day with his son. Eggy, did you spend most of the time saying what the director was? this is a good film, but remember.
Let me discuss problematic for you, son. This is how it works.
It's funny you say about seeing films in the cinema and with the Marvel movies, because I did manage to watch in chronological order all of the Marvel movies up to Endgame, and I was lucky enough. I was working in London when Endgame came out, and I managed to see it in a place. It's called Leicester Square, which is where they hold the premieres, and I managed to see it in that cinema with a bunch of other fans. And the whole moment where Cap gets the hammer, the place just erupted. It was great. You know, it was proper goosebumps.
That's how you crowd please, right there.
Yeah,
that movie. That was arguably the MCU's best movie so far. Even with maybe you guys might not agree with that, but they gave you everything you wanted in that one. They really, for the girl power moment.
I was just going to say the moment in with the girl power in the cinema, you could hear everybody's eyeballs roll back into their head of this sort of sound of as they that was the only problem with that film. That was the only the rest of it they absolutely nailed it so well, one moment. Which they didn't need to do at all. Need it at all.
Tony dying in it. I've always, it was very emotional send off for the, the character stuff. But I've always wondered, like, why do they always, when they're done with somebody or they want, they always have to kill them. Why can't they get their Captain America? Yeah, why can't they just say, I'm done, man? It always has to be that the character even. In the original Magnum P.I., they were going to end it on the seventh season, and it was going to end with him dying. And I thought, so many people demanded more that they carried on for two more seasons, and at the end of it, he finds his long-lost daughter and rejoins the Navy, so he can have a steady job and take care of her. And I was like, see, why is that so hard? Why is it always going to be, we got to kill the character off?
I think it's because Robert Downey Jr. was paid, I'm sure it was something in the region of about $75 million for it.
So they thought, if
we don't kill him off, then he might want to come back, and we haven't got the money.
I get that, but they could have also been like, no, you know, you're retired. Look, you know, they did it with, you know, Cap. So, but I mean, all that Tony went through, his reward was he gets to die.
So let me throw this out there. How many times have you watched one of the solo movies and say, boy, this would be a lot more helpful if the Avengers were there? If you start killing them off, then you know you can't make that, you know, it's a boy, I wish Iron Man were here to help. Well, he's dead, so you're not going to be asking. It's, you know, it makes it much easier for some of those storyline things. And I also think that they kind of, for Tony Stark, I think they kind of seeded it. I always think back to the very first Iron Man and the first Avengers, where he kind of, like in the first Iron Man, he says, I shouldn't have been kept alive unless it wasn't for a reason. Like, he wasn't supposed to die then, he was supposed to die in Endgame, you know? And he even kind of mentions, like, he kind of brings that idea, that theme to Bruce Banner when he says, you know, that much radiation should have killed you. He says, so the Hulk kept me alive? For what reason? He goes, well, I guess we'll find out. Well, we did find out. It was to snap the finger, right? Because only he could have done it. And so I don't know. I felt like that one was kind of earned. I mean, Jesus, they had 75 movies. They should have earned it by then. But it worked. And then I think Cap, he had the retirement. So they didn't go all that way. I mean, isn't that the complaint about Marvel movies, that nobody ever dies? So, you know, finally one dies, here you are bitching about it. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not complaining.
It's no pleasing you people.
No, I just think that a couple of them, you know, could have died. But there's some that it could have been.
Captain Marvel, for instance.
Yeah, or Black Panther, obviously. Oh, wait, he really did die, though.
He did die. Let's,
he's not coming back for the sequel.
Disavow.
Just to say, I saw a great meme the other day, and it had Black Panther, and it had all the guys there going, Ibambe, Ibambe. And somebody's cut it in with some scenes from Zulu, which was quite funny. Michael Caine going, fire, stuff like
there's
that.
There's a very similar video meme of that I will send you, because there's no... But imagine that, same cut, but with Black Lives Matter chant, and it's so... you just have to see it. I can't even talk about it anymore. No,
If the screen goes blank, you know why.
Yeah.
It just was such a hilariously well done edit, though, because they put, it was like you said, Michael Caine and all that. It's like, some of these internet comedians can do some amazing.
They really nail it. They really do nail it. Coming on to saying about the Avengers not turning up for stuff, Eggie's just asked there, have we watched The Eternals? Now, I have.
I'm not going to either. I'm not going to watch that crap.
I have. Yeah, we talked about it. We have a whole stream.
I wasn't there when you talked about it, I don't think. But I was. I put the review up, kind of like the official LMO review of it. I thought it was terrible. I mean, terrible.
I watched the Drinker Recommends review of it, and that's all I needed to know.
It was.
You and I talked about it, buddy. November 7th, just you and me. Again. We were the only two on the stream. Yeah, no,
Sean's,
it's not worth
Sean's really
about.
Into it.
Yeah. No, you, George, you and I talked about it.
Oh, right. Oh, yes, I remember, because you said about you like the bit where Jack and no, I can't remember.
I just love the lasting impression I leave on everybody.
Well, I was interested in seeing it, but I wasn't massively bothered, but then it came on streaming, so I thought, right, fine, it's on streaming now, I'll give it a watch. And I couldn't believe how, again, this is a multi-million dollar property that you've got, that you're producing a film which is going to be seen by millions all over the earth, and they just messed it up so much.
Well, what did they have to work with, though? That's not exactly, you know,
they've done it with the X-Men. It could have been done. It just, you know, if you introduced them properly, they played games with the time, you know, the flashbacks and all that bullshit. And it's just, it's, you know, told poorly, just executed poorly.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
Yeah, it was just, it was, and I do really feel for Chloe Zhao, because I've done a review, if you look in the YouTube channel here, I've done a review, a video review of Nomadland, and I thought it was great. I thought she, you know, she's a very accomplished director. But then she's brought in to do this, to do Eternals, way out of her depth, way out of her depth, compared to what her earlier stuff is, which is sort of very deep and meaningful, almost sort of documentary style filming. To then come in and do a movie like this, it was a huge mistake, and I feel really sorry for her. And if you go to her IMDb page at the moment, she's got not anything on the go.
No, and it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's so bad it's good, or so bad, you know, it's not like it's a complete, it's just dull is really all it is. It just leaves no impression. It's not the most horrible thing in the world. It's just, there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
Would you call this Marvel's first official complete misfire, flop or something?
Yeah. Because even Thor the Dark World was fine.
I think even, yes, Shang-Chi was entertaining.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it was entertaining. Whereas this was just, it's a film I'll never go back to. All of the previous MCUs, I have watched them at least, I would have said, 3 times each. Yeah. And I've quite enjoyed them.
Black Widow, I don't know. How much did it make? $12.
It sounds like Phase 4 is not doing very well.
Until Spider-Man, you're right.
Yeah. Overall, Spider-Man is, you know, everything else seems to be a...
Which is really Phase 3 late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phase 3.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
The budget was $200 million. The gross in US and Canada was $164 million. And then worldwide gross was actually only $400 million, so it literally just doubled its money.
That lost money because
when you look at $400 million worldwide, you gotta pull out a pile of money, and then you gotta add like twice the budget for marketing, and it's just it's not good. It's lost a lot of money. I'm sorry. Eggy mentioned, Yoda, I'm watching the original Star Trek series again after seeing your videos, and they are excellent. I'm assuming he means Star Trek and not my videos.
Obviously.
When men...
This is so terrible. I got to go watch the original series to wash this taste out of my mouth.
Now, I'm going to read this word for word. This is what he typed. When men were me and women were feminine. Good times. Well... See, the medication needs to be upped a little bit there for you, because I'm pretty sure they weren't you.
I was going to say, that is one thing about the old movies and stuff. When you go back to the days of like Gene Kelly and all this kind of thing, and even though kind of like singing and dancing could be considered like a feminine thing, all the men were men and all the women were women. You know,
yeah. You what never was his looked... name? Didn't what's his name there famously like beat his wife and kids? Bing Crosby or something, that he's like notorious wife beater. Like you should be.
Well, it's time for me to get out the belt there, Billy.
That's from Family Guy, isn't it? But what I mean is the women on screens, when you think of like Greta Garbo and all these women, they always look fabulous and glorious and wonderful, you know, like not like real women at all. You know.
Disavow.
No. but it was just kind of, you never looked at the screen and thought, is that, well, yeah, I'm not
sure. Is that
sure,
really
sure.
A woman?
Yeah.
Is this a Wachowski's movie?
One of my favorite quotes is, there's a TV series over here called Mock the Week, and at the end of it, they do scenes you'd like to see, and they have a topic, and then they make like lines about it, and one of them was, things you'd never hear in a fantasy movie. And one of the guys just came out and said, I'm not a dwarf, I'm a lesbian.
I mean, yes, men were men in Star Trek, but also you could say that there were some issues. For instance, it's like, okay, Kirk, You're going to have to do this diplomatic function. Now you're going to meet this ambassador. What are you going to do? Punch him in the face. No.
And then sleep with
his wife.
This is
a diplomatic function. You don't punch him in the face? No, you don't punch him in the face. What is it with you punching in the face?
You use a laser gun. This is the future.
So I phaser them. I phaser their brains out. No. I have sex with them? God damn it.
Eggies just said he types whilst cringing. I didn't mind it, to be honest. That's Eternals, but perhaps because my expectations were so low. That could be a thing. My expectations generally are so unbelievably low.
The thing to take out of this is that obviously Eggies' taste is in very suspect now.
To be honest, I knew that after he defended Man of Steel.
Yes, with his ringing with his ringing endorsement, you know. I didn't mind it. Put that in quotes on the poster. I didn't mind it.
clearly, he's a huge fan. I didn't mind it.
I didn't vomit during it or anything. Yeah.
I didn't catch COVID whilst watching it, so, you know, it's not
terrible. How do you put a shrug on the poster?
I expected more from, especially since it's Kevin Feige, for whatever you want to call him, Feige, is involved.
Feige.
I expected more. But I do think to myself that he is kind of now, I want to move on to Star Wars. It is a difficult name to say.
Apparently for you, yes.
The problem is it's not important enough to him to get right. That's what he's saying.
Kev, at Marvel, I think he's now in a situation where he's like, oh, I'm trying to get fired so I can go over to do make the Star Wars films, because that's what I really believe.
He's trying to get fired. He's like, I can't stand this place anymore. I just want to go to a cabin and just leave all this behind. They won't let me. They keep making money. Stop going to see these things. I made Eternals. You still came, you assholes.
I can imagine Disney built him a throne room for him to sit on. And daily they would come in and sort of say, oh, mighty Kevin, you have saved us with the Marvel Universe. What are we doing now? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the Game of Thrones thing, but instead of swords, it's like, you know, Mjolnir's hammer and Iron Man and mouse ears and shit all over. It hurts to sit on. It hurts. Got a mouse here up my ass. Won't leave me alone. I don't know where this is going, guys.
I'm just thinking there's a few possibilities in my mind, but again, probably not going to plan them out.
Like sometimes I just turn on the faucet and it just comes, all right? I don't know what to tell you.
This is my favorite quote from Family Guy when Peter's talking about something and Brian says, do you even listen to yourself when you talk? I threaten him out.
I made it out.
I can relate to that.
I've had that a couple of times this week. I've been chatting to people and then I've been talking away and I was like, where was I going with this? I can't remember.
Well, guys, I do have to wrap it up because I've got a few things to do this afternoon, unfortunately. So, and since we're pretty much flailing wildly like I was in my last stream at this point, and before we get the ACLU to sue us if we keep going this way, should probably wrap it up.
We do have to say thank you to Eggie, and thank you for the ribbing that Eggie puts up with, because, like I say, he is our only loyal viewer.
He's kind of our producer. You know, he looks up stuff on the fly for us and pulls our asses out of the fire.
Yeah, the stuff that he's been typing.
Eggie, you ever whip up a webcam, some Skype, let me know. We'll get you on here.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have another British person on that I can understand.
You guys can't understand each other 20 miles away. Who are you kidding here?
Oi, oi, oi. You want me to pretend to be British so you feel oi, 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 mate, cunt. Oi. beans and toast.
Just thicken up your southern accent a little bit. That'll have the same effect. He won't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was spot on.
I was just about to say, it's like I never left. It's, you know, you guys are just in the room. And it's like just British people just walk through the door there. God. Oi, 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 beans and toast.
Oi, mate.
Nailed it.
What's all
this Australian?
What's all this did? Isn't it? It's a bit shit, isn't it?
Goodness me. This is why, what's his name? Oscar Isaac is not going to get away with his old Moon Knight accent. Oi, God, blimey, Governor. I've just turned myself into a mummy, innit? I was just at home eating me fish and chips from and I suddenly turned into a mummy, didn't I?
Love me pyramid. Love me pyramid. Love me Sphinx. Simple as.
And then he transforms into the British superhero and all his teeth start going. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hear my voice. What's happening? Oh no.
Oh no, I'm going all Dick Van Dyke, I am.
Is this racism? I'm not even sure anymore.
No, it's fine because one of the people you're offending is laughing with you, so it's okay. That's how you get around racism.
Sure, let me look through the rule book. Oh yeah, there you go. It's in there.
That's the case. I got some real humdingers here.
Oh Christ, we're gonna have to stop this now.
That's it.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. If you're still here and you're not writing letters to our editor by now, this has been Outpost Frequencies. We are part of LastMovieOutpost.com, where you can find all the cool news because we are now it. You will find the latest movie and streaming news. You can reach us at contactus@lastmovieoutpost.com. You can reach me on Twitter @DrunkenYoda1. You can reach old George over there at
Blimey Governor.
Not George Lucas one. You'll have to type. On. Yes, you'll have to type with an accent. So figure that out.
Nobody can contact me. I don't, apparently.
You told us you don't have anything to contact you with.
I do, but I don't think our audience would care. So yeah,
he hasn't even told us. That's how trusting he is.
I don't have Twitter, but you can
find
me
on Facebook. I got your phone number. Why didn't I give him that? He's like, oh, whoa. What are you, out of your mind?
Now you hurt George. Now, see... Now George is hurt because he doesn't have my phone number.
Oh, yeah, but you get international charges.
I can rest you assured. I don't want it. It's absolutely fine.
That
and besides, I know there's a couple of websites I can go to get it anyway. So
why do you have to be so hurtful all the time?
You generally call me racist most of the time.
That's because you say the N word before we start the stream, like for 2 minutes straight.
I was going to say, generally, I am being racist, but don't call it out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't point the fingers. What's this? Just rude.
And we're down to 730 subscribers now. And ticking down as we speak. So thank you. Please like, share, subscribe. Please, goddammit, subscribe.
Please don't report us.
And don't report us, yes. And we will see. Well, let's end this quickly. We will see you on the next stream.